their eyes to be stained.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, functional ninjas alike? It's Brendan Vermeyer, director with AFGNP. We are live for our Fantastic Friday call. It's May 31st, 2019. I'm excited to be here with you all. I'm hosting today since our normal host, Mr. Brandon Mollet, is doing something other than this right now. but I do have my lovely co-host and good friend, Tess, on the line, who is one of our mentors. Tess, what's going on, girl?
Hey, Brendan. I'm excited to be here on this lovely last day of May. Can you believe it? The last day of May?
I know.
Like,
yeah,
already, right?
It's going by. Right, right.
Yeah, It's a busy time of year for everyone, too, right? A lot of things going on this time of year.
Totally. Yeah, definitely. Kids getting out of school and, you know, the pools are opened up, Memorial Day last week and all of that. So it's exciting. I'm ready for some summer vibes and all that. And definitely the year's kind of been flying by, but ready for that chill summertime, hopefully a little different pace. And then we got this FDN conference thing coming up in November, which it's a ways off, but at the same time with how fast everything's moving, it's like it's going to be here before we know it, and I just could not be more excited about that. So, anywho,
yeah, you've
got a fun show
for
you guys. Oh, go ahead.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Time will fly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we got a cool show, guys. We're going to do Ask the Mentors, asking some questions. Last week, we really used up the whole show with live questions, which was a lot of fun. I always like live questions better than, you know, reading off the screen and all of that. So I definitely encourage you guys to ask those questions live or contribute to the conversation live. You know, that really is kind of the best part, is, you know, raising that collective consciousness and all kind of putting our heads together and sharing our knowledge and wisdom and good vibes. So anywho, before we get into maybe a couple announcements, I do want to read off. We did have just one graduate this week. So we actually have Patricia Quinn from Middletown, Pennsylvania, our only graduate from this week. But, you know, Patricia, amazing work. Congratulations on joining the ranks and, in my opinion, the most elite community of functional practitioners in the whole world and industry. So definitely no small feat there, and huge congratulations. Let's give you a little round of applause.
Yeah, congratulations,
very
Patricia.
Good.
That's a great accomplishment, right? It is.
No, for sure. Did you happen to mentor her at all? I did not.
I do believe that I may have, maybe once or twice through the process. Do you know, it is one of those, so one of the things that I think that is important to celebrate about our course is that it's not fluff, right? This is a real deal. You're
right.
Learning, you know, some really good stuff. You got to put your head down and you got to do the work. You got to put the time in. You got to do the research. You know, it's not just open the book and here's the answers and you got this. So when you graduate, that's a big deal. You've earned it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's nothing else like this course out there that brings it all together. And this whole industry I love, and it's such an exciting time to be in this field right now because it's just absolutely exploding and it's the future. I firmly believe it's the future of healthcare. It's just kind of a matter of time before, you know, things start shifting. But we're just in such a pivotal time right now. The world needs us now more than ever, and unfortunately, I think some of the chronic disease statistics are really only going to get worse before they get better, but that's why we're here, you know, and I'll be honest, I think a lot of times, I see too many people, not in this community, but, you know, kind of out in the world, losing sight of the big picture, and that's where I always really try to keep it focused on what we're up against. You know, chronic disease is at an all-time high, even though our technology with drugs and surgery has never been better, and we've never had better technology. We've never been able to, you know, be so connected to one another, and yet I feel that our species has never been more disconnected, more miserable, more unhealthy. And so obviously the world needs a lot more of what we do as FTN practitioners. So I don't know, that's kind of my little soapbox, but that's what gets me out of bed in the morning, and I think that's why we're all here. So it's good to have
you. I think that's a really, I think that's a great soapbox to be on. And I think that you have some very, you said some very profound things there. You know, as you said, we've never been so advanced with technology and the tools and the knowledge, and we've eradicated a lot of diseases that, you know, plagued our grandparents and their grandparents, and we should be in a better place than we are with health. And yet, with all of those advances, we've actually created some different problems. And so I think a lot of those chronic diseases that you're talking about, they so much of them come around from sort of a social economic kind of picture. You know, we are, as you said, more disconnected, we're more sedentary, we're more we're not as social beings in so many ways. And you know, in FDN we do more than just look at the medical side of things in regards to metabolic dysfunctions. We're looking at, you know, the root causes, and some of those root causes are, you know, that social and that movement and that mindset. All of those other things make up the whole body, and that's what makes us healthy. And I think that, along with, of course, our food industry and, you know, a lot of other things that we could talk about today, but there are so many other contributing factors, but we also forget how important that whole body approach is. When we're, especially when we're learning, right, and we're just layering in all of these things that we're learning in the course, and as a new graduate, you're just figuring out all the metabolic pieces, but you can't forget that all of those extra pieces, all the existential things, and Liz, again, the social, that is important to making the whole body. I have studied some neuroscience through the Neuroscience Academy, and one of the models that they use is so much like how Reed teaches that brain-body connection. They use something a little bit different, but it expounds on the exact same points that he makes. And even brain health, it's not just our physiology that's important to that. It's our experiences, it's our emotions, it's our movement, it's our sleep, it's all of those things. This is amazing stuff,
absolutely.
But, you know.
Yeah, and that's where I just don't feel like there are any other, you know, institutes or educational programs out there that are as kind of complete and comprehensive. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that FDN teaches everything under the sun, but it does at least provide the framework of giving us that more holistic understanding. And, you know, there's tons of holistic-minded professionals out there. But I don't really see very many people putting it all together the way that we do. And it comes down to, you know, that holistic approach to the total person, you know, not just the metabolism and physiology, but the psycho-emotional, the spiritual, the, you know, everything in between. So that's why, like, I love getting to do what I do with the AFTNP, and, you know, bringing in different experts on different topics. So kind of getting into, you know, some of the announcements I was going to say anyways, we have that awesome pro series with Trisha Nelson this week that was all about, you know, more emotional eating. And she has her course for becoming a, you know, emotional eating certified coach or whatever the title is. But, you know, either way, the point being exactly, you know, we understand, like, okay, the emotional piece has to be addressed with the metabolic. And I will say I was kind of, you know, biting my tongue during the presentation because I wanted to sprinkle in, you know, some comments as far as like, well, yeah, there's the emotional side and the physiological biochemical. So, you know, when we were talking about cravings in the webinar, it's like, okay, well, yeah, cravings are very much emotional, but they're also very much physiological. And, you know, my thing that I always want to make sure all of us keep in mind is you can't separate the two. You know, if you're only working on somebody's psychology and emotions, that's only going to get so far. And if you're only working on their biochemistry, physiology, that's only going to get so far. The magic is when you do both. You know, you are reprogramming the brain through neuroplasticity and more psychological work, but then we're also balancing the biochemistry and physiology with our FDN, you know, approach to metabolic chaos. So I find, I mean, I can't speak for others. I can really only speak for myself and my healing journey, but it had to be both, you know. So anywho. Yeah.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree. And I think that, you know, it's everything's evolving. And it's a funny thing. You know, we're on this cusp of all this new science every day, right? There's something new that we're learning about the microbiome or about the brain-body connection or, you know, all of these different things. And yet I feel like so many of our ancestors, they already knew what to do. They were doing it. We messed it up. You know? Because they were eating
yeah.
right. They were eating whole foods. They were moving. They were having social interaction. They were working hard and sleeping well. And we've lost some of that. So I think that making all of those connections, and like you said, having like your pro series and having all of the speakers that we have come in, I think it's wonderful to get those different perspectives about what is going on out there mm-hmm. in science and things that are working. And then that's what's great about FDN is that we help you put all that together and see
mm-hmm.
the connections and that importance. Yeah.
Totally. Well, it's like I brought my friend Dr. Nicole on for a webinar, I don't know, like a month ago, holistic psychology stuff. And, you know, I mean, that was just somebody that I kind of befriended through the internet. And I just, you know, I follow her stuff. And I was like, well, this is really quality. And it is that holistic approach to navigating your own emotional state and your own psyche. And, you know, she's all about self-healing. We're all about self-healing versus psychology. Ours is more physiology. But, boom, that's the yin-yang right there that makes up your total health. So really cool stuff. But if you guys didn't catch that webinar with Trisha Nelson, I just posted the replay link all over Facebook, and, you know, we send it out in email and all of that. We've really done a lot of great stuff behind the scenes with different email newsletters. We have an exclusive AFDNP newsletter now that goes out, I think, every 2 weeks, I want to say. But you can check out that replay in case you missed it. It was a great show, and Trisha is a good friend of FDN. And then next week we have Dr. Debbie, what's her last name? It's like Silber or something like that. Silber. I hope
Sieber?
I'm pronouncing that
Silber?
Right.
Silber, yeah.
Is that it? I don't know. I've never
Silber.
Heard it pronounced, but yeah, Dr. Debbie Silber, she's coming on next week, Wednesday, normal time, 3 p.m. Pacific. So the title is The Lingering Health Symptoms Left Over from an Unhealed Betrayal. I'll admit I've never talked to her before, so I don't really know all the ins and outs, but, you know, reading her bio, it sounds like she really focuses and specializes in helping particularly women, is what it sounded like, with kind of overcoming trauma and betrayal that might be negatively impacting their health and well-being. So, again, kind of along the lines of what we're talking about right now with addressing the whole person
yeah.
and addressing, you know, their mind and body and soul. So that should be a good show. Make sure you register and check it out.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Let's announce one. Yeah, I think it'll be good. Oh, guys, make sure if you want to be on the Real Results Show, the Facebook Live series, be sure to apply. That's posted on the AFDNP page for AFDNP members. So make sure you go apply. I know, I think we had a spot in June that we were trying to fill. Otherwise, I think we're probably scheduling for like later in July. But either way, I mean, the point being there's a little bit of a wait list. So fill out the application. I've been absolutely loving getting to hang out with our AFDNP grads, you know, Kristen and Ryan and Jennifer this past week and everybody else. So it's been a really fun series and, you know, getting to really highlight the power of the FDN methodology, but also getting to highlight you as an independent professional FDN practitioner and getting your name out there, getting your aura out there, and your vibe tracks your tribe. They will come. So I'd love to hang out with you, so come vibe out with me. But I think that's about it for announcements. Tess, am I forgetting anything?
No, I don't think so. You don't have any upcoming events that you're speaking at? Are you about done with your spring schedule?
Yeah, I'm kind of done with the spring for now. I was going to go to the IFM conference that's going on right now, but I actually am doing a competition tomorrow, so I skipped out on that one. But I'm looking at a few other events later this year, obviously the FDN conference amongst a few others, and kind of setting my sights on getting on some of the bigger stages for next year with a pretty nerdy topic, but I'm going to keep that to myself for now, and you guys can just wait and see what I blabber about. It'll be good. All right.
Oh, I bet
well,
it will.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So let's get into some questions, guys. Good to see you all out there. So again, always remember you can hit one, raise your hand, and I'll call you out, unmute you, and you can ask a question live. But let's kind of get this party started with some questions. Can pull a few off Facebook, and we'll have a good time with it. Right, scrolling through here. It's been a little bit quiet on Facebook this week, actually. So here's a fun question about SIBO. We'll just kind of kick it off here and see where all this goes. But SIBO breath test, so the question, methane gases are over 80, hydrogen gas at 5 on a SIBO breath test. Any insight besides constipation, any particular SIBO diets for methane producers as opposed to hydrogen that I should be reminded of? Tess, do you want to take a stab at that first? Or?
Well, did I see that you had a comment on there? Did you give?
Yeah, I responded
Do you pretty much, I don't. So first of all, I don't start off with SIBO, depending on, what is going on with the client, right? I work to kind of help balance all of the dysfunctions first. Lots of times SIBO will just sort of start to clear itself up if we, as far as the diet goes, if we address the things that are actually bothering the client, they begin to maybe do a little food journaling, notice what foods are actually bothering them. I mean, we can obviously do a SIBO diet, SCD diet, things like that. Sometimes they're pretty restrictive, and not all of your clients are going to be willing to do that. So I think it becomes sort of a case by case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, you have to go back and think, what's that root cause of that SIBO? What is their 401H or their GI map? If you've done that, what did that look like? What are you addressing first? And, if you've cleared those things up and then you're still dealing with SIBO, then that can become a little tricky sometimes. It can take a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So Oh, sorry. I think we have a little delay.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
What were you asking?
I was going to say, so what do you tend to do when you have SIBO that doesn't clear itself up after you've done all the rest of dress and you've worked on all of the infections?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that question was obviously very isolated, and as we always say on the Friday calls, and as Tess is alluding to, we want to make sure we're starting with a full investigation and doing our full FDN approach, because we never want to isolate anything, because it's all interconnected, and sometimes we almost kind of, treat these different healing opportunities like individually, and we need to always make sure we're connecting it to the bigger picture of everything that's going on with the client, because like with SIBO, first off, I don't know. SIBO is pretty ubiquitous in society these days. It's everywhere. Everybody's got a little bacterial overgrowth here and there. And I don't really look at SIBO as like, well, it's a specific condition that has to be, it's a part of a bigger picture. And as Tess said, I find a lot of times like, okay, a little bit of SIBO or a lot of bit of SIBO, whatever, it's usually going to be secondary to something else. So a lot of times, yeah, as you do like a full pathogen protocol or some kind of full gut healing protocol that is a part of a bigger FDN protocol, yeah, a lot of times it's going to kind of clear up on its own a little bit, and you don't necessarily have to, you know, get super intense with a SIBO, FODMAP, SCD type diet, or, you know, elemental diet, or stuff like that. But on the flip side, sometimes SIBO can be a super stubborn beast, reoccurring, lingering, take a long time to really knock that bacteria down quite a bit. Now, methane versus hydrogen, generally I don't find that there's a huge difference between the approach to those two. But supplement-wise, as I commented to Sherry on that post, yeah, I mean, I'll incorporate, yeah, like a low FODMAP, SIBO SCD type diet. I use Biocidin very liberally. And then Olivirex in particular is something that I bust out for methane in particular. It works extremely well. And, you know, if you want to use other stuff too, that's great. But it's just kind of a matter of, what do you need to use? Like, do you need to use Prokinetics? Do you need to use, you know, something to get the bowels moving? But also with SIBO, we need to be thinking about hypothyroidism, which, gosh, you know, most of our clients do have suboptimal thyroid function. So, you know, I think that needs to be taken in consideration. I think we need to be thinking about bile flow and vagal nerve stimulation. I think we need to be thinking about potential mold toxicity if the clinical presentation seems fitting of that, because, again, my point being, SIBO is not ever really the only elephant in the room. I find SIBO, you know, SIBO along with like hormone imbalances and stuff to be kind of a side effect of something else. But ultimately, you could say that about everything, you know, oh, well, this is a side effect of that, and that's a side effect of that. Well, that's why we call it metabolic chaos, guys. That's why we don't, you know, isolate one thing. That's why we don't run one test. So I do think it needs to be that multifaceted approach where we're kind of addressing as many of the identified healing opportunities as possible, which also means you've got to do a pretty thorough investigation, because I think if you're just chasing SIBO and applying SIBO protocols, it's going to be a long road and it might not be as fruitful. So just some extra thoughts there.
Yeah, I totally, I'm glad that you kind of understood my direction, because that's exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. I, for one, it's not our job to isolate, right, and to be looking at like a diagnosis. And when we do that, we absolutely do miss the bigger picture. And I love that you mentioned, you know, like thinking about those bile acids and, you know, what's going on with the bile flow. And we need to be looking about how the liver's detoxification phases are working and what are we doing to support that. Because there's a reason you got SIBO, right? If someone's got SIBO, how did they get it? You know, that means that it's not a virus that you catch, and so to speak, right? You didn't just go out and touch something. You have SIBO. There's a reason you have it. It's because there is that dysfunction, and it's probably multifaceted, all those different systems. Mm-hmm. And while I do like, you know, often you do have to go to the FODMAPs or the SCD or the elemental, especially like you said, when it's really stubborn, I do find that a lot of my clients tend to really, a lot of them, boy, they just really hate that restriction. So that's why I mentioned sometimes I will let them, you know, we'll get very like allowing them to kind of, we're exploring to find out exactly what are the contributors. Maybe it doesn't need to be that full out FODMAPs or SCD, but if they're not getting relief, then ultimately they have to make the decision that they want to, you know, that they're willing to commit to that restriction for a while to get where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but it's a good discussion, though. Yeah, because it really is important for us. I think, I mean, we could insert any other condition besides SIBO into this conversation, and it would have pretty much the same outcome. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned, you know, everybody's probably got a little bit of SIBO or a little bit of bacterial overgrowth, and it's kind of like Candida. You know, everybody kind of gets focused. You especially see this across the internet, you know, I treat Candida or I treat this, or, you know, I'm specializing in this. And that brings us back to But how did they get there? Which is where we come mm-hmm. in, right? Again, back to that whole connection.
Yeah, you know, I could go on a tangent pretty hard right now because that absolutely drives me crazy where, you know, some of these different people out there in the industry, you know, really like, oh, well, they have their thing, their subject, and like that's all they do. That's all they talk about. That's all they treat. That's all they focus on. It's like, it's not how it works. And you know, you ask them about a different subject that kind of goes outside of that, and they kind of act like, eh, I don't think that's as important. And it's like, no, you're biased, and
yeah,
I think, yeah, it kind of pisses me off a little bit.
You can't pick and choose.
Yeah.
Everything's connected. You can't pick and choose.
Yeah, I really, you know, the deeper and deeper I start getting into all this and digging, I really think a thorough investigation into the microbiology of the person's body, the immune function, the toxicity status, and, you know, using our FDN approach to address those areas. And, you know, there's so many different things that can be playing into that, but I find those to be, you know, kind of some of the key areas. And we all love saying gut health is the foundation of your metabolic health. And yeah, I say that probably 5 times every week, you know, at least, but you know, it's expanded beyond that. I think we need to be thinking about toxicity, immune function, gut function, detox, microbes, because, you know, I would say the majority of the time, that's really kind of the heart of the issue and that's a pretty big net that you have to cast to identify all that. But,
it is,
but,
right?
You know, we're rolling out great.
It's their environment. It's their environment. It's the water it's the water we drink, the air we breathe, the food we eat, you know, the way that we manage our social or work stress or relationship stress. It's so many multi-factors that bring a person to total metabolic dysfunction. I always use this analogy when I'm teaching that, you know, our microbiome, our gut is like our house. And, you know, when you go somewhere, you lock your doors and windows of your house because you don't want the bad guys getting in, right? But we don't lock the doors and windows to our physical house. You know, we leave them wide open with all the chemicals and things that we're exposed to. And, you know, so that education piece is also very important.
Totally. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely huge. Whew. Well, very good. So, guys, that was a good convo. That all stemmed from SIBO. If you want to ask a live question, kind of remind you guys real quick, since we're about halfway through the show right now, feel free to hit 1, raise your hand, bring you on. Oh, did I see one? No, wait. Is that a hand raised? Maybe. It looks like it. Area code 215. I'm going to unmute you here. Okay, area 215, you're live. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, guys, what's going on? This is Evan Transu out in PA. I did have a question.
What's
that I was
up,
enjoying.
Evan?
Hey, guys, I was enjoying you guys going back and forth, so I didn't want to hop in quite yet.
No, you're good, man.
But, all right, the question I have, so I just recently ordered for myself the kind of, I think it's called the Gut Total Restore thing from Microbiome Labs. And I know you have talked about before, Brennan, that you are very big on those guys. You use them often. One of the concerns I had when I was ordering it was that, you know, the prebiotic said that it had milk and corn in it. Now, those are two things that is just completely off limits to me normally. But when I went to the group, you know, someone made a good argument that I got to be honest, I didn't fully understand, but they made a good case for why this wasn't something that you necessarily needed to be concerned about. Maybe with someone with like a severe allergy would, but necessarily someone who's sensitive. And they broke it down, these different things with the oligosaccharides versus the proteins and things like that. And I was wondering if you guys kind of had more insight on that, if you thought that was correct, or you could explain that maybe in a little simpler way for someone like myself who's not necessarily as advanced as that person as to why this would be okay for me to take when I am otherwise sensitive but not allergic to dairy and corn.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, the prebiotic and, you know, the kind of total gut restore program thingy that they built. I was talking to Karan about that when I was out in Seattle. We went out to dinner with a bunch of people and we're chit-chatting about stuff. But that came up in conversation. And, of course, you know, Karan went on the, you know, super detailed explanation of, you know, how they extract those different ingredients that they put into the probiotic and the everything that's in there. So I don't, you know, I probably can't speak to all the nerdy details with how they're pulling it out. But I remember the punchline just kind of being like, well, because of the sourcing of it, you know, they do have to put it on the label. But it is such a kind of complicated, like, extraction process that, like, in, you know, out of his mouth, you know, really isn't a concern for, you know, the vast, vast, vast majority of people that might have some kind of intolerance or sensitivity. And, you know, I've been giving that stuff to a lot of clients pretty, you know, liberally for the most part, and I haven't seen any issues with it. But, you know, just like anything else, though, obviously it's very individualized. And it's like, well, you know, if you're able to kind of pinpoint, I started drinking this thing, and all of a sudden I started having a lot more immunological reactions. Yeah, all right, well, maybe it's not for you, but I think it's probably not a concern for like 99% of people.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then this, I always kind of bring two or three questions that are completely unrelated. But the second one that I have is kind of for both you guys. So I'll keep it short, but if you don't know my story with FDN, I actually joined FDN. I had no intention of doing the health coaching whatsoever. I joined with the intent of discovering stuff for my own health issues because really no one was able to help me. And it was actually easier and more affordable at the time for me to just go through the course than it was to do an FDN practitioner because I was about 21 at the time. So I wasn't working with a whole lot of money. The thing is, over time, it started with that. Okay, now I'm getting good results, kind of something that, you know, family and friends can't ignore. So they asked me, hey, could you help me with this and that? And, you know, I was doing a still responsible but modified version of FDN where, you know, it would have been more focused on dress, not really necessarily ordering labs and things like that. And now it's gotten to the point where I'm just like, you know what, I actually really enjoy doing this and I'm definitely passionate about it. I mean, I have a whole separate career outside of this, but this is something where you can kind of decide how many people you want to work with regularly and things like that. So I know, you know, Reed has talked a ton about the public speaking. I'm someone who's lucky enough. I'm very comfortable with doing that. And I don't have an issue with that, but I also see a ton of FDNs using the online model very effectively. So I was kind of curious for you guys, if you were restarting right now, and maybe you were just getting your first few clients that, you know, weren't friends and family, they were truly maybe cold leads at one point, where would you guys start? And that's kind of my last question, so I'm just going to tune myself, or you can click me out here after that, but I appreciate it in advance, so thank you guys.
Yeah, of course, man. Tess, do you want to take the first go at that?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good question. So I was kind of smiling a little bit there as I was listening to you, Evan. It's definitely obvious that you have the passion bug there. You can hear it in your voice. And I love how you have evolved that. So took a little pressure off yourself by not like jumping out there and putting your shingle up and maybe, you know, got an opportunity to get your feet wet and get used to the process by working with friends and family. And so I think that was really a great start for someone who, you know, wasn't ready to take on that extra pressure. You said you had another career outside of this. If you are comfortable as a speaker, I'll be honest with you. I think that if it were me, I would be starting in my locale. I would be checking out places where I could speak and give a presentation. Could be small groups. You could set something up in your library. You could reach out to maybe local chiropractors or ODs or, there could be several opportunities with you, maybe even some local clinics, depending on the subject matter, because there are ways to integrate, you know, with smaller doctor's clinics. It just depends on their mindset. I don't find that works well with the larger ones, but if you're in a smaller town, sometimes you can find that. Could be massage therapists. I mean, there's all different types of groups, and there's conferences, things like that, where you might reach out. But really just getting out there and talking to people about what you do is a great way to get started, especially if you're only looking for a few referrals at a time. The biggest thing is you need to decide whether or not you want, you know, an office overhead, or if you still want to set up your practice where you're working with them virtually and yet you're, but you're connecting with people locally. So you can, you know, kind of even build your tribe online through the local people that you connect with, because goodness knows nobody uses the Yellow Pages anymore. Everybody looks online. You know, I can remember like many times I've met people and locally and talking to them about what I do, and they're very interested in talking more about me. And the first thing that they'll say, they're like, well, give me your information. I'd like to check out your website. I'd like to check you out online, and then, you know, I'll get back to you. So people do use that even on a local level. Now, getting into the online market, it's a little bit different. I'll be honest with you. For myself, I started out working locally. I have an office locally. Actually, when I first started, I was running two offices, and I lived between them, running back and forth. And then I did find that there were people that I was working with that were referring me to friends and family that were outside of my area. So that sort of launched my a more virtual practice. And then sort of getting more into the virtual marketing, that's a whole different ball game. So, you know, they are apples and oranges, really. So it kind of, in my opinion, you need to really delve deep and find out what you feel comfortable with. If you enjoy speaking to people in person, you enjoy meeting with people locally, then that's a great route to go. But if time is a factor and space is a factor, you know, you will have to invest a little bit differently in the online market. What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, there's so many ways to kind of build your brand, build your business. I don't know. I mean, I very much have kind of gone more the virtual route. I started, you know, I was personal trainer and nutritionist working out of a private studio. And that was kind of nice because I sort of had the best of both worlds where, you know, I had a space that I was essentially renting with the private studio, and I could meet with clients there. But then, of course, like, you know, I'd go home in the middle of the day and also work with clients virtually. And at that point in time, I was also, you know, building up my online presence and my social media and all of that, because it takes time and consistent effort. And believe me, I mean, there were years earlier on in my career was just like, gosh, like, is this ever going to get anywhere? Is it ever going to, like, pay off? Because it does. It's a game of consistency. But I think, you know, the more authentic you can be, and if you just really are pursuing your path, you know, fueled out of passion and authenticity, it will get somewhere. You just have to keep showing up every day, keep putting yourself out there, exploring opportunities as they pop up. But I do think online is very powerful, and, you know, it takes away a lot of the overhead too, and you're not limited by location or zip code, or I don't know. To me, it seems harder to, like, reach people locally, because I personally, like, I don't want to go speak at a library or, you know, community center or, like, I don't know. I've done some of that stuff, like, earlier on. I remember, like, back when I was an independent personal trainer, you know, I set up a little amateur booth at, like, an open store for some supplement store. And I just felt like such a waste of time. And I don't know that, and I'm not ragging on that approach. It's just, it wasn't for me. I seem to have done better from kind of building up my brand through my online presence, and especially social media. Instagram is an immensely powerful tool these days that, you know, it's a game. I'll tell you that. It's totally a game, and you've got to play the game. But it's a very powerful tool for getting you out there. I think LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, those are kind of the main social media platforms. And for being real, social media is the number one way that our society interacts. So I think getting your branding down, getting your online presence, putting content out there, establishing yourself as the expert, you know, making yourself look like hot shit. Let's be real. Like, you know, you've got to create that aura that, like, I'm the expert and here's what I offer. And but also a lot of it, again, just authenticity, passion, and your vibe attracts your tribe. But you just got to keep putting yourself out there over and over and over, and the right people will come over time. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the beauty of where we're at today, in that we do have those options to do it however we feel comfortable. You know, when I first started out as an FDN, I had already been in practice and as a clinical herbalist for well over probably 10, 12 years. And so I was established already in my community as a go-to person for holistic health. And so, you know, when I put the FDN shingle out there, people were really that was something new to my area, and people were really curious. And so my word of mouth just drove my practice right, you know, I had a waiting list practice right out the door. But that itself can be exhausting. So you have to decide, you know, what those boundaries are as well. And as, you know, I've been doing this now for quite a while, you know, I've actually, you know, what my needs and desires from my business have actually evolved and changed, and I do things differently now than I did then. So it isn't like a set in stone kind of thing of too, you know, so like we don't have to like say that it has to be one way or another. You can figure out where you feel comfortable. You can do both. You can, you know, some people are, like you said, this is really an online world, but not everyone in every community is connected like that. I know you're more in a big city. I'm more in a rural area, so it tends to be a little bit different. I work with a lot of clients locally that still don't even own computers because they don't want to be bogged down by all of that social media. So believe it or not, they do still exist. So, you know, but I also work online, and so I have that opportunity, too, to reach people I would never be able to reach. So I think that you do have to kind of figure out, you know, like you said, you're going to attract your tribe by the vibe that you put out there. And that's going to help also determine maybe the path that you take is kind of, you know, what you want out of it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. 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 Well, shoot, we could probably talk about business building all day, but I think we'll probably go ahead and move on. But yeah, ultimately, go ahead.
I was just going to thank Evan for the question, because I think that
totally.
If there are people who are still in the course, or if there are people who are new graduates, those are really big questions for them, you know, because there's a lot of like, how do you do this? How do you do this? And it can be different for every person as well. There isn't like a one size fits all model. You know, like you said, the social media is a game. And so if that's a place you're not comfortable, sometimes you need to reach out and get a business coach for that. You need some mentoring for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure it out on your own, but depends on how fast you want to go, right? If you, you know, so you can figure out anything on your own if you want to. Just depends on how much time that you want to put into that. So there's all these different factors, and I think that that's probably one of the biggest questions that people get as they get towards the end of the course is how to do this, or when they're first graduating. So I think these kind of questions are always welcome. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the business development is huge because, you know, most of us came to FDN to learn FDN, not how to build a business. But damn, talk about a learning curve, building a business. Stuff that, yeah, it's amazing. Like, I think about where I'm sort of at with things. So I've got, I don't know, like 6 or 7 different people that all kind of work with me. I like to say with me, not for me. But it's just like, what the hell, how did this even happen? But kind of how it is.
Never thought you'd have a team.
Yeah, I think having some kind of business mentor, coach or something can be very helpful and advantageous, you know, and finding somebody that is, you know, kind of either doing what you're doing or like knows your industry and knows your profession or something very, very similar. So like if any FDNs were trying to find business coaches, like find somebody that has experience helping people in the holistic health and or fitness entrepreneurial, you know, space. Cause I think it's just different, you know, but
yep.
Anyways, about
yeah.
15 minutes left in the call, guys. So, it looks like we have another hand raised actually. So, area code 919. I'm going to unmute you here. Okay, 919, you are live. What's your name? What's your question?
Okay, my name is Amy.
Hey, Amy.
And hi. And I'm a new FDN grad, well, relatively recent, about 6 months now, maybe 4. And my primary role right now is I'm a women's health trainer, and I work a lot with postpartum and pelvic floor issues, diastasis. And my goal with FDN is to integrate the FDN piece along with that, because that's hugely missing in women's health, considering how digestion alone impacts a diastasis or pelvic floor health. And so what I would like to know is I have a really good grasp of the basic labs that were taught in FDN. But I'd like to know if you guys could suggest maybe 2 or 3 other areas to focus on in terms of study to put this whole picture together. Because I go on the Facebook group, and it's honestly a bit overwhelming just with the amount, the enormity of information that is still left to learn through the O-test and the hair mineral analysis. And I'm a member of ASDMP, but it's just where to start. And so that's what I'm looking for, little guidance today from you guys.
Yeah,
that's a great question.
I think it totally depends on, you know, what kind of people are you wanting to work with, but also, like, what kind of issues are you wanting to work with? Because, you know, I've definitely kind of put myself into, I don't know, I have managed to work myself into a thing where I have a lot of really complicated people coming to me now, which is cool. But it kind of depends, like, you know, what do you want to work with? Because I think there's so many people out there and there's so many needs. And on the one hand, it's like, well, you want to be able to handle anything that comes your way. But nobody's going to be able to handle everything. So that's part of the beauty of the community is, hey, you know, is there somebody you need to pass along to somebody else that's more their jam? That's what they specialize in or focus on or whatever. But that's what's nice is you can kind of study different pieces based on what you think is going to be a good tool for the demographic that you're working with or the people that you're attracting. So I guess I'm kind of curious sort of, you know, if you have a demographic in mind or you have a thing, because the FDN approach can be applied to anyone. So it's like, how do you want to put your own spin on it? What do you want your flavor of FDN to look like?
Right. So I'm thinking mostly the postpartum mom who is either immediately postpartum or within, you know, the fourth trimester. You're looking at like first year, second year, and then when the kids are getting into elementary school and they're finally realizing that, man, my body is a mess. What has happened to my hormones? I can't digest my food. You know, and I've got a couple handfuls of clients right now that are that. And I've done the labs and I've seen some, you know, positive correlation, but then there's some that are just, everything comes back normal. And well, that's not supposed to happen because they have tons of symptoms. So I'm just wondering, what are the next big rocks to look for? And I know that's a broad question without specifics.
Yeah, it is a broad question, but I think that it's a good question. I love what you're doing, and I definitely agree there's a need for it. And I think that your scope is wide, though, because postpartum is really different from a mom with kids going into school. And I say this because, you know, you already know the body is still in a healing mode postpartum. Mm-hmm. The mom might be nursing, and so detoxification is not going to be warranted at that point in time. So you kind of have to, you know, you're going to, if you're going to keep a more broader scope, you have to keep those things in perspective. So what you do for that first postpartum mom might be more in the way of a lot of dress support.
Right.
Until, you know, they're through those processes, especially if they're nursing. That's more like, you know, if they're nursing, because we know that's very difficult. And we know hormones are changing at that point. And they may change several times over the course of the first year after delivery. So, you know, I would start with dress support and then try to figure out exactly, you know, the, you know, dial in on the diet and digestion and, you know, gut health, you know, that kind of thing. And then if you're moving into that point where you do want to start looking at hormones, you do want to start looking at digestive issues, you know, infections, and you want to start working towards those, and you have a mom that's in a space that she can do that. You know, if you're wanting to know kind of how to gain more knowledge or put those pieces together, you might want to look at, like, for instance, our hormones advanced course that we have.
Oh,
especially
I didn't
working.
Know there was such a thing.
Yep, we have several advanced courses, and the hormones advanced course will give you a much more in-depth, and you're really, I mean, in the kind of niche that you're talking, you really are dealing with a lot of hormones and hormone changes.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you don't really feel as solid on that as you'd like to be for that niche, then that would be a direction I would really send you, is to do that advanced hormone course.
Okay, great. That's perfect. That gives me exactly what I need. One piece at a time. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Glad it helped.
In case you didn't know, we do have a handful of advanced courses. We have advanced course for hormones, featuring the Dutch test. We have a SIBO course, blood chemistry, oxalates, thyroid. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I'm working on an organic acid course right now.
Right, I knew that.
So,
great.
A lot of good stuff.
Those are,
but
that's perfect.
That's kind of thing. Adding new tools to the toolbox, you know.
And don't forget that if you decide that you feel like you need some testing, like you want to run a GI map, if you want to run some actual like the Weed Zoomer or the Cyrus Array food reactive food test, you know, the AFTNP, the medical directors program, is designed just for people like you who are running those tests that they haven't trained on, because when you run those tests and you get the clinical advisors, you're going to be sending in your case notes, you're going to be sending in any other labs
that
you've run. Yeah. So you can kind of help get that bigger picture. Yeah. Kind of the same with the HTMA, you know, and the more that you utilize that service, you'll start to get that bigger picture, and you'll learn from us. We'll, you know, educate you along the way, and you'll be amazed that, you know, you'll start to see more cases that look similar, and then you've got it, right? You're understanding the connections.
Great. Perfect. Yes, it's so
awesome.
Needed. Cool. Women's health is so lacking.
Well, you know,
that's
a funny thing you say that, because when you look at, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but when I say funny, maybe I'm saying funny ironic, right? Because when you look on the online space and you see that the majority, and no offense, Brendan, but the majority of health coaches out there are women who are specializing in women, and yet they're more generalized health coaching, right? They're not getting down to the nitty gritty like we're talking about. They're not looking at that whole body approach. Yeah. And so I think that might be where that gap is. It isn't that they're not out there, because, I mean, of course, you know how it goes. When you like something, then every other thing in your news feed and social media is about that. So there are a lot of women out there helping women. I'm not sure they're in your niche, though. It seems like they're more in middle age to menopause niche is more where I see them. I don't see them so much in new birth moms and postpartum stuff. And so I agree that definitely is a weak area. And some of that could be because, you know, everybody goes where they think the money is. And, you know, people are not always ready to invest in their own health that soon after having children. Their mind is focused yet on, you know, their finances and their time with their children, and they don't have the time, or they don't take the time to invest back in themselves, but they need to. So educating them that they need you is going to be really key. So I think that you're probably in a minefield.
The correlation between pelvic health and digestion is never touched on, and most women don't even know there's such a thing. They just think once you have babies, then your answer is you're going to leak or you need to wear a pad or whatever. So that's where
as a woman who has given birth to a couple of children, I was never told that over the years. That was never connected to me. So I love that. Great job. Go out there and spread that message.
Totally. Okay. Recruit well, thank a y'all. Team. I appreciate it.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to hang up. Appreciate it.
Cool. Awesome. Good question. So, guys, we just have a few minutes left in the show here. A lot of good conversations, a lot of good discussion, everything from, SIBO and metabolic chaos and business building and kind of finding your niche and all of that. But, gosh, I don't know. We probably have time for, one more quick question if anybody has a quick live question with the last 4 or 5 minutes here. Otherwise, probably pull one off Facebook. But Tess, any other comments that you wanted to throw out there to finish up that convo while I'm looking for a question here?
Well, I would just say that I think Amy is a good example of how as we go out the door as FDNs with our new certificate, and we kind of are in a little bit of a bubble yet at that point. And if you really stop and explore what your strengths are, what your passions are, what you actually have to contribute to helping other people, it will really help guide you towards that direction of the people, that you need to attract that you can really help. Sometimes we sort of get set in a more general mindset that we can help everyone, but, falling back in and really thinking what you're really interested in and where you have experiences and where you feel there's a needs gap, that's amazing. And that's really where you're going to shine. And that is so needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I really think it takes time. Here's the thing. We all graduate, and the FDN methodology and what you learned in the FDN course can be applied to anyone. It can be applied to anyone. There are 7 billion something people on this planet. There are millions upon millions of people really suffering from poor metabolic health, and our model is superior for delivering proper metabolic health. So then, literally, the world is your oyster, and it's who do you want to apply this methodology to? Do you want to work with stay-at-home moms? Do you want to work with, retired men that don't have purpose to their life because they don't know what to do in retirement? Yeah, I don't know. You can work with anybody. So it takes time. At first, you kind of have to take what you can get because you're trying to build a clientele. You're trying to build a business, and, you've got to pay the bills and get some business going. But over time, it just organically happens, and so that's where I kind of encourage, new graduates or even veterans, don't put too much pressure on yourself of, you have to have it all figured out right now, and it's going to unfold organically. And I think the more that you look inwards with introspection and listening into your kind of intuition and gut of, what feels right, what cases or what demographics or what subjects, just really light your soul on fire and really feed that passion bucket, and you're going to start pursuing that more and more. And then before you know it, other people project that vision onto you. So just keep doing your thing, following your heart, and spreading as much of this good energy and, good information as possible, and it will unfold for you. So I don't think you have to pick it and force it,
Absolutely. I mean, you just listen to Amy and you listen to the passion in her voice, that she really has found that community that she feels needs her. And sometimes, like you said, you don't know that right away until you get out there and you do get those experiences from, working with different people. Growing a business, we're back to talking about business again, but growing a business is a personal growth. It totally is. There needs to be that introspection, right? That you need to be reflecting on the things that light you up and the things that make you want to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. You need to focus on self-discipline and time management. And I mean, there's so many factors that are growth minded too. So, you know, embrace that part as well, as, you know, you're going to be a better person all the way around by going through this process.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, awesome, guys. We're right at the end of the show, just a few seconds left. So awesome conversation day. Tess, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Always a lot of fun with you here.
Yeah, awesome. Great to be with you. And I think our illustrious Brandon will be back next week. But anytime. I enjoy it.
Very good. Yeah, well, actually, if you want to join him next week, I'm actually going to be out of town. I need to send that email. But if you want to co-host with Brandon, you guys
can
have some fun.
You haven't told him yet. I'll have to check my calendar to see what's available. But, yes, absolutely. Love our community. Love what we're doing to help change the world. So I'm so humbled to be a part of it.
Perfect. Well, awesome. Happy to have you here. And, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Awesome Friday call. We'll be back next week, and have a great weekend, everybody.